Last season on Encounter Party. The Rail War was revealed to be a lie designed to write a giant spell across the city of Ravnica. With more conspirators in the shadows, our players focused on stopping the spell itself. While investigating the rail line investors, our players gained a new ally in Saloran Trent, an Orzhov debt collector with suspicions of his own. Their investigation uncovered a world-shattering truth. The Guild Pact resides in a man not from this world. Our players traveled to the Rubble Belt to investigate the Gruul and seek the library of the Living Guild Pact in hopes of finding clues about the world beyond. What they discovered confirmed Saloran's fears. The Obsidot, leaders of the Orzhov, were members of the conspiracy. Through great sacrifice, our players managed to upend the seat of power in the Orzhov, only to reveal that Xenia had been replaced by a Dimir agent. Now, left without friends, without orbs, and without hope, can our players possibly defeat the threat of Merit Lage? Find out on Season 3 of Encounter Party! Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting season of Encounter Party. My name is Brian David Judkins. I am your Dungeon Master for this adventure. With me, as always, is Andrew Krug, Ned Donovan, Sarah Babe, Landry Fleming, and David Quinn. Let's get this party started. Early morning in the abandoned penthouse of the late Rufir Alfonso III. The three remaining attendants wake up groggily, with an uncertain future facing them, and their morning is disrupted by the arrival of Saloran Trent, who has returned from his own place of residence to handle the devastating situation you all have before you.
Good morning. I brought you fried doughy treats to start your day. Brethren?
Yes, master.
It is too early for this.
And he's just like carrying this tray of fried doughy treats.
I will grab one and I will consume it.
There's a lot of fallout to deal with. I recommend carving up before we start. Perix? Lorzach?
Perix looks at the fried doughy treats, Brevin the Thrall, and then Saloran, and just goes and sits down at the table.
I don't remember whether or not we actually repaired that penthouse window, so it's very possible that you guys are just sitting into an open-air, abandoned, very expensive place.
That's how I imagine it.
Floor tiles are all cracked.
Yeah, right. I don't think the repairs from Rizel's visit were ever actually taken care of. And it's also like, it's just like abandoned. Like, this entire building is just abandoned. It's very quiet.
I'm trying my best to be congenial. Could I please have some reciprocation?
Thank you for the fried dough,
Brevin. And he grabs a treat and sits down.
I'm gonna pet Brevin.
I bet you they have zero sweat glands.
And Saloran just turns to Brevin and says, Brevin, home, now.
Yes, master.
And this little green, gray pygmy thing just sort of like shuffles out of the room, carrying the rest of the donuts that you did not take out.
Too late. So.
As soon as he gets out of the room, it's like No Face from Spirited Away, just down the hallway.
We have a lot to deal with. For one, we need to reunite with Xenia.
Point of contention? Xenia abandoned us. If anything, we need to reunite with the orb she has. Nothing more.
Fair.
Either way, we need to head to Nivix immediately.
We at least need to make sure that Xenia's okay. She's a part of our party.
She left us open to an attack. Her weakness ultimately fell upon us.
I don't think that was her fault, though.
We don't know it's entirely of her own will, either. For all we know, this metamorph had taken her face long before.
This is why I don't like dealing with the Dimir.
I don't think anyone likes dealing with the Dimir.
Seconding that.
I don't think the Dimir like dealing with the Dimir.
And yet deal with them we must, one way or the other.
I agree the first stop is Nivix. Whether or not reuniting with Xenia is on the table, I'm not sure.
We'll see what she has to say.
Shall we?
Let's.
So, with a belly full of dough, we're on our way. The decision very clearly seems to be march our butts over to deal with you-know-who, you-know-where. So everybody assembles, heads down into the street. You guys are currently in the 3rd district, so you're going to have to march your way over to the 10th, which is the neighboring district, but you have to go through, you know, we've been through this path several times before. Now, the road to Nivix can be a confusing one. The street layout is a veritable maze of vice and entertainment, surprisingly. The neighborhood is overflowing with pubs and taverns, making it one of the largest party regions in the 10th district. It's a strange juxtaposition next to the highest institute of learning in all of Ravnica. Cafes boil away with their finely tuned Is It coffee machines. Large steam tanks gargle with their micro brews. To the discerning eye, it all kind of feels like one big distraction to get people lost in revelry before they can poke their nose into any actual Is It business. An immense tower rises above the city, and that is Nivix, the guild hall of the Is It League. As you approach, you can see that there are multiple floors structured with meticulous focus, full of alchemists and mages who hypothesize, theorize, and often miscalculate to size dangerous experiments with reckless abandon. Are we approaching the door?
So Lauren marches up and knocks with
No. There are Scorchbringer guards out front with weapons that look very similar to the type of thing that Cyril Montjoy was lighting up his own house with last season. Frontal assault is prepared for, so the question is, how are we going to proceed?
I say we be really nice.
Okay.
And polite.
No reason not to.
There's someone at the front door.
We'll say two guards, Wizard of Oz style, standing outside front, who very clearly are like, hi.
Is there any way for you to relay a message to field researcher Xenia? No surname?
Do you have an appointment?
I'm not aware that she has an office in the building, but I know that she has recently taken an appointment with the Fire Mind.
Visits to Nivix require an appointment. If you have not scheduled an appointment visit with anybody within the facility, you must head down to the district office, wait in line, which I will promise you is very, very long, file for a scheduled meeting, and with any luck, you'll be able to return in about 1 to 2 months.
Delightful. Thank you for your assistance.
Please?
Is there some sort of danger?
Yes.
If you are concerned about the danger in proximity of any Is It experiments, just please head down to the central office and file the appropriate form immediately.
And come back in 1 to 2 months.
Yes, if you are still alive.
Oh. No exceptions?
No exceptions. So, we do have charisma-based abilities, do we not?
I don't.
Yeah, which of us is the most persuasive?
Yeah, which of us is really good at getting things out of people when they need them? I'm not saying you have to start doing that thing that everybody hates, but...
Saloran marches up to the guards and says, as a high ministrant of the Orzhov Syndicate, I request an audience with this field researcher, Xenia. That's a dirty 20.
For persuasion?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so as you approach these guys, and obviously everything is really tenuous, right? Everything's sort of morose. We're dealing with the fact that, holy crap, we killed guild leaders, and our friend is not who we thought she was, or maybe she still is, and something's wrong with her. We're approaching Nivix, something that is daunting for anybody because we all know who lives in here. You're approaching these guards. Nobody really knows where to go. And sort of surprisingly, off to your right, this sort of stuffy but hurried Is It person comes running up to you. And they have sort of, their facial hair can really be described as Colonel Sanders. And they have, you know, white hair is just sort of a thing within the Is It because they get shocked all the time. So their hair just goes white or they're old. And he comes rushing up to you with this very, very finely designed, you know, nouveau chic Renaissance era type, frills and puffy sleeves and, tights and pointy shoes. And he kind of very stuffedly comes hurrying up to you and says, stop right there. I know who these people are. Stop right now. And the guards are like, I see. Deputy Security Inspector. It's so nice to see you. Yes, hello. I know who these people are. They are expected. This is the Deputy Security Inspector, and you are expected.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yes. Cool. We're expected.
Yes. You are being expected. This way, if you'd like to come join me, please.
Thank you.
Yes, I do expect a certain amount of decorum on your way through. Keep your hands and arms inside the ride at all times, or I guarantee you will lose them.
Thank you.
So, you guys go shuffling in to Nivix. Now, it is a very long way through this tower. Nivix is one of the tallest buildings. I think the only place that's taller than it is New Prov, which is the main court area of the Azorius. It is a very, very long way through this tower, so you're going to take a hot minute on a little bit of a walk here. The lower levels are full of, like, workshops and laboratories conducting all types of studies, and you can tell you probably don't want to know what they're working on. A sudden explosion off to your left, followed by the sound of a screaming goblin, gives you the feeling that maybe you guys shouldn't tarry very long. After a while, the farther you head up, the more dragon decor you begin to notice. The fire mind may very well be the most brilliant mind in Ravnica, but as you continue through the tower, you begin to suspect he also is the most vain. But you do have a hot minute to strategize, talk, do whatever you want. It's going to take you 10 to 15 minutes.
To the Inspector.
Yes.
And you're taking us to Xenia?
Yes, that is the plan. You are here to see Xenia, are you not?
Correct. Can we expect anyone else?
I suspect you can expect whoever you're hoping to expect.
God, we're going to meet the Fire Mind?
I was not hoping to expect that. Please don't say that out loud.
Well, I mean, considering the last couple days we've had, I think it's pretty fair to say we could probably assume that that might be a possibility.
We need to be prepared then. What do we need to know? What do we need to say?
When do we think Xenia was replaced? The Mind Mage implied that he did not have the orb she left us with, which would imply that that was the real Xenia, and everything after that was a copy imitation.
That sounds right to me.
You hear a deep voice coming from the Deputy Security Inspector. Your companion never made it back for the assault on Warzuba. I see I haven't completely shattered your minds. I suppose that's a promising start.
Is she here?
Yes.
Why are you?
There'll be plenty of times for questions later, but right now we need to focus on getting that orb back.
If I remember correctly, the last time we were in the same company, you killed us.
I mean, no, he didn't.
So,
as you're kind of hearing this voice in your head, and you're hearing that very, very distinct, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, the Deputy Security Inspector is walking in front of you, but you can tell that the voice coming out of him is the same voice as that person who ambushed you, who is currently disguising himself as a ranking member of the Izzet.
If you needed us, why did you not bring us with you the last time? What are we doing here in your company?
As I said, there are a lot of things to discuss. But right now, we need to find out what your friend is up to and what her intentions are.
I trust her intentions far more than yours, and I don't think there's a we in this scenario.
Do you really think I need your trust?
You obviously need our help. You wouldn't have let us in.
Then let's proceed upstairs.
So we're not attacking him?
Didn't go well last time.
I think that would be an absolutely dreadful idea.
Attacking a member of the Izzet in this compound, they would vaporize us instantly.
I think attacking this man, period, is a question of whether or not he's actually standing where you think he's standing.
So many teeth grinding. So much teeth grinding.
Okay, so it seems pretty clear that he wants to talk to you guys. He obviously, there's something going on here, right? Like, there's a reason he's paying attention to you, but simultaneously not paying attention to you at the same time. Who the hell knows with the Dimir? But you guys kind of get shuffled through up to the top floor. And by reasons you can only imagine are a combination of disguise, and probably mind magic, you guys have no problem. As four people who are not Izzet are just being ushered through one of the most, you know, secret-keeping places in all of Ravnica. And you guys eventually climb to the top floor, and you can see this sort of immense grand hallway. And the only thing I can think of is, like, Return to Oz. And it's just like this just gorgeous golden hallway with motifs and all of these things, giving you an impression of what you can expect Niv-Mizzet to appear like before you approach the door. And whoever this person is, imitating the deputy safety inspector, goes to the door. There's a little bit of rummaging that you can't see because his body's in the way. And then he pushes open these giant double doors large enough for a dragon to walk through. And then as you step in, before you, you see a large cavernous study full of books and laboratory equipment. But it's very difficult to take in anything, as before you stands the last true dragon in Ravnica, the Firemind himself, Niv-Mizzet. He is an awesome creature of both mind and body. His chromatic blue and red frills ripple with concentration. And below him, you can see your friend Xenia standing on her tiptoes, trying to help install a piece of machinery. Surprisingly, he takes no notice of you when you walk in. Your demure accomplice puts a hand out toward you and basically says, "Let me do this," and approaches.
"Oh, great Niv-Mizzet, I have brought the people you were expecting here."
Sillingly over the top, because I'm making a distinctive character choice. And you just see this like terrifying yellow dragon eye just look out of the side of his head and see him. And it takes a split second of contemplation before, in this thunderous dragon voice, you just hear Niv-Mizzet roar with absolute disgust.
"Imposter!"
And fucking unloads the room in dragon fire. I need dexterity saving throws from everybody. Oh,
everyone next to me gets a +5.
Yeah, that's true. You shithead. Episode 1. God damn it, David Zoris.
Dexterity?
Yeah.
26.
Yeah!
25.
Hey!
11.
Nope.
Whoops. It's going to be 23.
Oh, close. I need 4 more D6s. Here, I'm going to borrow them from Landry. That way I know.
That way you know what?
That they're hers. That I know who to give them back to.
Xenia keeps on playing these.
That way I know they're weighted.
I've been cheating the whole time.
But only on D6s?
You never touch the D6. No wonder she always casts Shatter.
Nothing else.
Wouldn't athletics or...
This fire erupts into a 90-foot cone. Like, the whole back end of this room just fucking erupts in dragon flame. Anybody who rolled a 25 or higher takes half damage. Anyone who rolled below a 25 will take 45 points of damage. Anyone below that will take 22 fire damage. As you do your best to dive out of the way, and you just get freaking ignited by the dragon.
45.
I take no damage.
Your fucking shield.
Damn.
Okay, so Saloran, so you do that cool, like, Sleeping Beauty thing where you, like, drop behind the shield, you know what I'm talking about? And the flame kind of roars over you, and you kind of get a chance to look to your left, and you see whoever this guy in disguise is. You see his disguise just get incinerated off of him, and he's left looking like what you saw in the room. And so he's just this guy in this dark cloak, and he's down on the ground trying to kind of like put himself out, and you just see any image that was that expector just freaking off him, and he's kind of struggling on the ground. And then you just hear Niv-Mizzet like laying into him.
"Surprise. You lack the ionic charge my scientists developed in my laboratories. Your disguise was masterful, but your polarity was off. How dared you enter my tower and start this war anew?
And then you kind of hear, like, through the smoking and the coughing, that perhaps this guy knew that the dragon could do this, and just sort of groans out through this, like, cinder popping off of his body that just says,
if I wanted your life, do you think I'd come here in person?
And then he's kind of like, sort of like down on the ground. There's this, everybody give me like a perception check.
12.
22.
22.
21.
21.
11.
I would say for Lorzach and Ned, you're very perceptive people. So when you get a chance to kind of look around, there's something about the way that he's kind of handling this that you can't imagine he did not know that this was going to happen when he walked in the door. I think, you know, perhaps he didn't expect his disguise to be so easily discovered, right? Like, who the hell knows? What Dimir spy knows about magnetism? But there is something where it's like, there might be a little bit more of a show going on here than he's really down for the count. But he seems to be kind of willingly take a back seat at the moment. Xenia, hey, welcome. You were doing some work, and then some guys, you think you saw your friends, and then the room just ignited. Season 3!
You see Xenia, who is so full of herself, having gotten to be working with the Fire Mind in this very special, elite place, very puffed up, her buttons are shiny, she's taking herself very seriously, and she looks at the deputy security inspector and says, I knew he was an imposter too. She then turns to her previous compatriots and she says, oh, it's so nice to see all of you. I've missed you all so much as, you know, I can miss someone. I have been practicing feelings.
Xenia, I'm glad you're okay.
Ugh, I'm more than, I will tell you what, I am absolutely fantastic. If someone asked me a year ago today, hey, Xenia, where would you be a year from now? I would not think it was in the Fire Mines Laboratory. I'll tell you what.
I feel the same way as I'm patting out flames on my fur.
And Xenia starts helping her and patting out the fires.
You guys start patting yourself out. It's like Rizal all over again. This is the beginning of every season now. Just pure fire damage.
This is not where I expected I would be 1 year ago from today.
Jeez, how flammable are you?
It's not great.
It's not good.
So as you guys are like patting yourself out and you look up and you realize that you've kind of bought yourself just a half second of contemplation here because the dragon seems to be like analyzing the situation. Like, oh, you guys aren't completely incinerated into dust right now. I wonder why that is. And you know, he might get kind of lost in calculations for a brief moment ever then. So if you're going to do anything, I would do it now while you're still alive.
So Lauren puts his hand on Lorzach's back and just says, guard up, of course, and channels 22 points of healing into his body.
You healed him? Choices.
We know what happened in the Basilica.
I'll take it. Lorzach will sort of draw Xenia's attention as best he can.
Would you please kindly introduce us before he breathes again?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm so sorry. Yes.
Silence!
Never mind, I can't.
Does silence mean something different in the is it?
Oh, great Niv-Mizzet, please spare us your wrathful flames. I come here on the benefit of the Orzhov to seek your counsel. And Saloran, as he's saying this, his cape is burned away and his armor is smoking.
Curious enough to warrant a moment of my attention. Explain yourselves now.
I'll follow behind Saloran and just kind of fist to chest, down to a knee, in the most respectful stance that I can be in.
In a weird turn of events, Perix has spent the last few days more terrified of whatever's in his head than anything else, and stands up and stares at Niv-Mizzet. And says, with all the respect in the world, we didn't expect to be here. We're looking for her. And frankly, we would like to know why we had to die for her to see us again.
Come again?
You abandoned us. You have something that belongs to us. And we would like to know exactly why you didn't come back.
So what you see in the back of the room, now that the smoke has started to settle, what they were working on happens to look like a familiar piece of machinery. It looks like they're reconstructing some of the stuff that you saw in Fizzlegig Whirligear's tower.
Now, not the Malphus Reed lab.
The Malphus Reed was much larger. That was designed to house multiple orbs. But if we remember, Xenia tricked Whirligear into thinking that she was his assistant.
Right.
So she got access to a bunch of paperwork and stuff like that. So it looks like they might be using a combination of whatever she can remember and stuff that Niv can just sort of piece together with his advanced science knowledge. And it looks like they're trying to rebuild one of those tubes that the other two Izzet guys were using to study the orbs.
Good gracious, you're so sensitive. Abandoned is such a strong word choice. I've had very pressing things to do. Obviously, I have been studying the orb, which does not belong to you. I don't want to, you know, hash out everything that you say, but it's not your property.
We had an agreement that you broke. I bled for you. And you can just hear his teeth grinding so hard under his helmet.
So, question from the DM. Is that contract still active?
I think so. I mean, Xenia was not there.
Tessa said it was up, but
Tessa absolved it, I believe.
But after she abandoned us. She broke the contract before the contract was
What was the parameters of her abandonment?
You would only take actions that help the party, and you wouldn't leave the party without majority.
Technically arguable in that we've recruited the
most
powerful
Now, wait a minute. It's important to note that you voted her to leave twice.
To come back.
We never said when she should come back.
I think you said go, and then we'll send you a message and come. I think the vote was for her to leave. You're shaking your head, correct?
Yeah, I believe so.
And Xenia, did you believe you were doing something for the benefit of the party in the situation?
Oh, absolutely. I thought I was doing the absolute best thing.
As an official member of the Zoria Senate, I find no fault in the stance. I believe the contract was fulfilled to the extent of its circumstances.
Really handy to have an Azoria senator on
just
call.
Just right there.
Yeah. We have I had the day off. I freelance judge in my spare time. I settle domestic disputes just walking down the street.
And then I'll say to Niv-Mizzet, and would you mind ever so kindly telling us who is that? And I will point at the figure.
So the figure gets up and is kind of brushing himself off and very coldly just, you know, he's got this like cloak on and his hair is down in front of his face. And he has this weird thing with his voice where it sounds like he's there, but not there at the same time, but also maybe like behind a wall. Like it sounds like his voice is only reaching you from the direction he wants you to hear it from. And he just very coldly out of his mouth just says, I think you know exactly who I am.
What did you do with Sir Beardy? I liked him.
There's very little. So you're in the middle of.
That's canon now.
Now, who do we think this is, right? Like, out of the table, who do we think that this is?
For someone to so confidently disguise themselves, go to Niv-Mizzet, and then withstand this attack, it's got to be the leader of the Dimir. To me, that's the most sensible answer.
I would imagine that Saloran is in a position to, like, suspect such a thing, too. It is unlikely he's going to confirm or deny, but he seems willing to let you guys believe that he is the guild leader of the Dimir. And also, you're very quickly realizing that Niv-Mizzet does not waste any of his time answering questions that don't progress things forward. He does not give a shit about side chatter. But he seems to be incredibly patient.
What have you learned about the orb?
Nothing. Nothing that we didn't know, but I feel like if I spend a lot of time here with the Firemind, just a lot of one-on-one personal time, days together, evenings, sleepovers, meals, I really feel like I'm gonna hit on something more.
Enough, little spark.
Yes, sir.
I'm rapidly running out of patience. Why have you come to my tower?
We were looking for Xenia.
And you have found her.
We have been working together with Xenia to try and protect Ravnica from whatever it is Master Researcher Malphus Reed set into motion. We collected as a group a total of 4 orbs. One of them was brought to you by Xenia. He returned to our party as Xenia and then murdered us. And then it turned out it was a psychic attack. But
I feel like I've been murdered.
I feel offended. He now has 3 orbs. We know of 4. We suspect 5. The 4th is in your possession. We came to make sure it was safe from him.
Well, your presence may have added some expediency to my research. On penalty of getting burnt to a crisp, what are these 4?
We don't know.
We know everything Xenia does.
Prismatic orbs from the plane of Dominaria. I don't know if your studies have come across these words before, but I promise you these are artifacts from a place that is not Ravnica.
Lorzach, weirdly, the Draco genius is throwing you an insane amount of respect by just talking to him like he already knows everything. Surprisingly, he did not expect that from you, and he's really sitting there. And then you hear the Dimir Guildmaster sort of get up and very deliberately just says to him, I came in person. Give us the orb.
Who the hell do you think you are? The Firemind won't be just giving you something just because you demand it. Back up, buddy. Xenia starts rubbing her hands together and forming static electricity.
Xenia, the Dimir guy looks straight at you and demands a charisma saving throw.
Oh, well.
Luckily.
Yeah.
She is not in range of that aura.
Oh.
Nope.
13.
You immediately recognize that. Why the hell did that come out of my mouth?
Who said that? Hey, is somebody behind me? I don't know. Not me. I would never say something like that.
Have you told the dragon what's at stake?
The dragon already knows.
Dragon, there is a horror from another dimension knocking on our doorstep. Given your track record, is that something you really want to face head on?
To which the dragon, whew, I would say Saloran has enough pickup on what it, you know, what like badgering somebody mentally looks like that, oof, boy, did that, oof. Given what you now know about what Taysa said, like, ooh, ooh, room's getting a little hot.
I would like to slowly move to what I think would be out of range
of
the fire attack.
There is no out of range in this room.
Balls.
And as you step to the side, you immediately, your battle tactics just go, oh, holy shit, there's nowhere in this room to not get lit on fire. He thought of this. He fucking thought of this.
This is not his first time mediating a difficult conversation. And when tensions are running high, Saloran defaults to stuff that Taysa taught him. He puts his hands in the air and says, Great Niv-Mizzet, the horror's name is Merit Lage. What it has offered to entities in our world has been enough to corrupt even those beyond the grave. Please, we seek guidance and we seek assistance.
Persuasion. And if you do it, I'll reward you.
22.
Oh, buddy. Oh, like legitimately? Hold on. What is his bonus? With his bonus, he got a 20. For real. Awesome. Take a point of inspiration, actually, for actually making that work. Holy crap.
So he
gets a plus 11. To convincing people of stuff.
Nikara is now learning the power of words versus fists.
So this, God, what a devastatingly dangerous situation that you guys were in that suddenly just everything just sort of like calms down in this weird way. This is so weird. This guy could roast this entire room and everybody's just sort of calming down to this conversation. Everybody's kind of saying the right thing. Hey, man. Nobody's here to do anything. We just want the orb. This is super dangerous. And you get this weird interaction where Niv-Mizzet turns to you, Xenia, and gives you a look that seems to ask for your permission. He's actually curious as to what your opinion on this could be.
Little Spark, you know these people more than I, and it was you who brought this to my attention. What say you?
Great Firemind, I think it would be a good idea to send me along with them. I trust them with the orb. I trust them with this task. And I would love to represent you on this quest.
Is this orb necessary for averting this disaster?
And Xenia makes very direct eye contact with Niv-Mizzet. And says, yes, I believe so.
I will not relinquish my studies. But I understand that time is a factor. Orzovian, I demand a contract.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Well, so Lauren didn't wake up expecting this to happen.
But you most certainly better have paper on you.
Oh, of course.
There you go.
Law magic? Are you kidding me?
Thankfully, it's on your person and not burnt to a fucking crisp.
Yeah.
If you had it, like, in your hand, it would have been gone.
In his experience working with Tesa and observing how she handles the other guild leaders, there's a little extra pomp and weight in the way that he brings out the paper, brings out the ink, brings out the quill, as if it's its own ceremony, setting the scene for Niv-Mizzet to write out the contract.
I just gave you inspiration, so I'm not going to give you another one, but I do want to reaffirm that your handling of this situation is exactly correct. He's a dragon. We know in D&D dragons are very vain, and he's even doubly so. So you can just feel that all of your negotiating skills, all of your debt collector skills, all that stuff is really working on here. Now, he's going to make you actually write it out, because why would he fucking do it? But he demands this, like, very specific wording in a scenario.
I am willing to relinquish possession of this orb under the strict condition that once you have averted the danger, you will return this orb to me. This exact orb. I will not abandon my studies.
As a precaution, might I suggest including someone else into this contract?
And Saloran throws a look to the demure guild member.
This is a free radical. This person came into our lives and killed us. I cannot trust this man.
Ooh, that's going to need another really good persuasion roll. Because
this dude doesn't get to join
you
our
may
party.
You may have just sneaked something out of me really hard.
I'm going to use my point of inspiration that I just got. Yeah!
Go, Saloran, go!
24. I just pelvic thrust into Andrew Krug. I'm so sorry, Andrew.
No one was ready for that.
Them's the dice. So, yeah.
What did you roll?
A 24.
What does that number say?
Oh, a 17.
And what is that bonus number in the book?
A +6.
Shut the front door!
What? Oh, my goodness.
I will give you back that point of inspiration. You just had 3 really great moments in this thing. Son of a bitch,
good
dude!
God.
Fucking Christ, dude. Great job. So you see, there's so much going on here, right? There's so many, like, you're talking about probably the 2 most resourceful people in Ravnica as well. And there's something about this. There's something about the fact that this demure guy is going along with you. And he walks over to the paper and his wrist flickers. And, like, his blood forms into a quill. And he signs his name with blood, and you just see him write the name Lazov.
Would I know that that is the guild leader?
It's unlikely that you guys know that his, I mean, who knows his name, right?
Right.
Who knows if that's even really his name?
Right, right.
But he's given you a moniker to address him by unavoidingly, like, dude, David, seriously, what a inadvertently mastered stroke there.
Yeah.
Look, there's no way he's going to outright say, yes, I am the... Whoever the leader of the Dimir is going to give you just as much information to make you do what he wants you to do. But if you were to move forward assuming this is the leader of the Dimir, I don't think it could possibly harm you.
Noted.
This is a chess game that Lorzach does not know how to play.
Perix doesn't think that Lazov should be part of this. Like, why are we adding Lazov to this party? Why is he coming into this game?
We cannot take this orb from Niv-Mizzet without some sort of guarantee that this Demir asshole isn't going to screw us over. It's a contract that's binding us to Niv-Mizzet, but right now, before this contract, this Demir guy was a free radical. He could do whatever. Make him a known quantity, get him in.
Yeah, by hook or by crook, making sure that he can't, like, mind fuck all of us and then kill us again or whatever.
Yeah, I'm sitting over here at the end of the table, like, completely. I'm trying to keep it really, really cool because I'm currently inhabiting both Niv-Mizzet and Lazov at the moment. But, dude, seriously, what a great play to make them both reliant on each other if they want something done. David, seriously, what a really, really good move.
It's a good maneuver.
And they're using us.
Yes.
So we need assurances.
Wow. Great move, David. Geez, great move. So the way that this works is this is just how it works is you just presented a case and both Lazov and Niv-Mizzet kind of look at each other and just go, yeah, aggravatingly, that makes a lot of sense. And so Niv-Mizzet retrieves the ore and he grabs a sticker.
Yes, he does.
Does he wear like a glove? Does he have like a little baby glove
sticker?
No, because he's got like the long claw, right? So he just puts the sticker on it, and the sticker is like, it's like a cartoon rendering of Niv-Mizzet with like a thumbs up and smiley.
Oh my god!
Like a Twitch chat emoji, like a Niv-Mizzet emoji, like thumbs up sticker. And he just puts it on it, and he hands it to Xenia.
Xenia takes her cloak.
Is he bear handing it? Bear clawing it? Bear dragoning it?
Yeah, but like we know the minimal amount of damage it does, so sure. It probably doesn't even like affect him.
Sure.
I bet you he handles like more damaging stuff on a daily basis.
I'm really glad he put a sticker on it because I was wondering how we were gonna make sure it was his.
He seems pretty determined to give it to her.
I love
it. I mean, it does like, I can't remember what it does.
It was like 8 points of cold damage.
Holding the orb does like 2d8 damage or something like that. It's just like a basic frost damage thing. But it's like, for the party people at home, it's like every minute or something like that. Like, it is repeatable damage. But for him to pick it up and hand it to her, nah, he's all right.
I just love the Izzet has such strong branding game.
Right?
They do, though. They do, because Niv-Mizzet is so vain. Like, seriously, if you explore Ravnica and, like, merchandise and all that stuff, like, the Izzet are on brand all the time. That dragon, if you think about the, like, the place is called Nivix, there's Mizium, there's all sorts of stuff. And the whole idea behind the design of the Izzet League is that he's so freaking vain that everything is just sort of named around him. And it's so weird because he's not a super public figure all the time. So there's this weird like celebrity crap that he's set up that's just outrageous. We're even falling into it in this podcast because I've written him in. So it's just outrageous. He's that good. I've even fallen for it. Okay, so here we are. You have one orb in the hands of Xenia. Who knows where the other three are? But you now have a contract that Niv-Mizzet does not seem like he's going to give you guys crap about possessing this thing until you stop whatever you're intending to stop, which we are going to say is...
They are in contract with each other and us until we are all safe back with our respective guilds.
Until Ravnica is safe and we are safe back with our respective guilds.
Except that can be as simple as, oh, we're going to dump you off at your guild's doorstep and we're done.
Ravnica is currently safe because Merit Lage hasn't arrived.
So making sure, like, to...
Merit Lage has to be in the wording.
Until Merit Lage is defeated?
I think we should name the defeat or destruction of the remaining conspirators and the dissolution of the conspiracy to summon Merit Lage and or the defeat and dissolution of Merit Lage.
Do we want to include anything with the rail lines?
If I was the lawyer typing this out, it would be all such pertinent steps pertaining to the summoning of one Merit Lage, including but not limited to the construction or sabotage of rail lines, the repossession of all available extraplanar orbs or related paraphernalia and or artifacts pursuant to clause.
Do we want to add a bringing to justice or a destroying of all corrupt Merit Lage corrupted enemies?
If we destroy Merit Lage, then we destroy. I think we destroy the source of the...
Right.
Because there's a... I mean, even Lazov last season was saying that he was hearing the voice. So I'm assuming But we can put it in, but that also puts you at risk.
That's why I said enemies.
Well, sure, yeah.
Just because you're entering in it with us, that, I mean, who knows how Niv-Mizzet feels about you.
Well, and the destruction, to me,
Barracks is expecting to be dead within a week, so like...
Really?
Yeah.
The destruction of all Merritlage followers to me seems a little
Or like bringing to justice, right?
Bringing to justice. I mean...
Impossible to...
Yeah, enforce. It's just so grand. Yeah.
So the specificity of the defeat or dissolution of the conspiracy, including Dayarath and any other known conspirators...
Or to be discovered conspirators.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Sure. You want to leave that bit open, but also like we have to prevent the summoning from taking place.
Yeah.
Which we still don't technically know is a summoning.
No, for all we know, when we get the fifth orb, the gates open.
Right. But we don't know if it's when they come together. We don't know if it's when the spell completes. We don't actually know that it's gates.
Also, we stopped the glyph, so supposedly this isn't possible.
We don't know.
Right.
We also don't know that we stopped the glyph.
I say we just travel to another dimension and start our own Ravnica with hookers and blackjack.
Yeah.
The terms of this contract shall be fulfilled when all known conspirators against the Guild Pact, Dayarath, and all others that may be discovered are brought to justice.
Gotta use Merritlage in there.
Will the term conspirators include Merritlage herself because she is a sentient creature?
No, Merritlage is a second part of this. The conspiracy is dedicated to the service of Merritlage.
And at the end of the day, we're looking to stop Merritlage from arriving, if that is the plot, and therefore stopping the conspiracy stops that anyway. We don't need to go to Dominaria to beat up Merritlage.
As a DM, I'm going to say she's extraplanar and therefore in no way can be affected by a contract or anything on Ravnica.
No, we're saying like we're using Merritlage as the when the clause is complete for Niv-Mizzet and Lazav. It has nothing to do with Merritlage.
Yes.
Slorin puts the quill down and reverently takes the paper and begins to read. The terms of this contract shall be fulfilled when the goals of the conspirators are halted. This includes all known and unknown conspirators against the Guild Pact are compromised to a permanent end. The extraplanar entity Merritlage is either prevented from entering Ravnica or its life is terminated. Mediated and signed by High Ministrate of the Orzhov Syndicate, Slorin Trent.
So it's important to recognize that Lazav signed his name before you actually wrote the contract. Something to take note of. However, after reading it...
Initial these changes.
Yes.
After the Firemind hears you read this out loud, you can see him take just a microsecond of contemplation, knowing his brain works much faster than anyone else's. And then in this... he's a dragon, right? So him even just turning around is like a thunderous effort. And you just hear like the little tink of a glass container. And then he comes around and asks you to hold out the paper. And with a long claw, just the delicate edge of a claw, just signs his name, Niv-Mizzet, the Firemind, Draco Genius.
Thank you.
Guild leader of the Izzet League.
Thank you.
Paragon of the First Guild Pact.
Thank you. Slorin then looks over at Lazav and says, I believe you need to initial these addendums to the contract.
He does.
Thank you.
Without emotion.
What is his second initial? He just signs L.
In blood.
You see him add Guild Leader of the Dimir.
Dang!
David. Awesome play, buddy. Really, really awesome play.
Slorin smiles under his helm and says, thank you, guild leader.
Really, really awesome play, buddy. I can only give a certain amount of inspiration, but really, really, really awesome play, buddy. Okay, so after signing that, Lazav just turns and starts walking out the door.
Xenia follows.
Slorin, he's got the contract. He goes as well.
Oh, great, Firemind. Thank you for your presence.
And then out from out the door, you hear like in your own brain, keep up.
As Xenia leaves the door, she turns, she bows to the Firemind, and while she's walking out under her breath, she whispers, I'll miss you.
What happened here? What is going on?
<clears throat>
On the next Encounter Party! Recovering the missing orb from Xenia, our players have managed to bind the allegiance of both the Izzet League and the House Dimir. The mysterious man calling himself Lazov seems to be formulating a plan against the conspiracy. But what role do our players serve in that plan? Find out next time on Encounter Party! Encounter Party is produced by Play Plus One and Charging Moose Media, based on the worlds of Dungeons & Dragons and Magic the Gathering, created by Wizards of the Coast. Original campaign written by Brian David Judkins. Sound capture and original effects by Will Malones. Edits and mixing by Ned Donovan and Katie Brow. Theme song and additional music by Alexander Nakarada of Serpent Sound Studios. Additional music by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech. Special thanks to Megan Judkins and Will Malones.
Hey, party people, this is Andrew Krug, the player of Lorzach. If you like what you've heard, subscribe on the podcast platform of your choice and leave a review. That goes a long way to helping us find a new audience. Join the Facebook discussion group for behind-the-scenes looks at what we're doing with Encounter Party. You can also find us on Instagram and Twitter, and let's keep the party going. For news and updates, go to EncounterParty.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.